Hey everyone, welcome to the third episode of PCraft Podcast. This week's episode will be the second in our rotation to cover all the monk specs, and today we'll be focusing on Windwalkers. Last week we did Mistweavers. We are trying to go by population, and somehow, likely due to how positive the reception was last week for Mistweavers, the Mistweaver population has jumped ahead of Windwalkers. So now we will be getting to Windwalkers. So I am your host, Babylonius, and although I normally think I know quite a bit about Windwalkers, I'm going to try and stay out of this and let our guests talk a little bit more. So joining me today are Kuya, Mickey, and Juko. So thanks for joining me, guys.
Hey.
Yep.
Hey.
All right. Lovely introduction. So, tell our listeners a bit about you guys. So, Kuya, why don't you go first? Who are you? What do you do?
Hey, I'm Kuya. I also go by JFunk sometimes. I help write the Peak of Serenity dungeon guides for BFA. And yeah, I just play Windwalker a lot. I stream on twitch.tv/JFunkGaming.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just kind of like ended. I didn't know if you miscued your mic or something. All right. So how about Mickey? How about you? Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, you could just say I'm in the Discord or something.
You could say that. This is a podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm Mickey. I play Monk, of course, but I've played it for about 2 years at this point. I've played WoW for a long time, but only switched to Monk right before Nighthold. I don't really have any social media I'm trying to push or anything. If you have, you might have seen my name on Peak for the Storm Earth and Fire Openers article, or more recently the Cancellora article. Brought that to the masses. And, you know, if you need anything after this or any questions, you can find me in the channels on Discord.
And last but certainly not least, Juko.
Yeah, I'm Juko, and most people probably also know me from the Discord, but I played Windwalker for all of Legion, and I don't do it anymore, but I'm still maintaining the Windwalker part of the WoW Analyzer. So I'm still keeping up with everything and how to play the spec and what's going on, and I also like play it a bit on the side when I'm not playing my Paladin.
Gotcha. Well, I'm happy to have all three of you guys here. So we will we'll get right into it. So obviously there have been a ton of changes for Windwalkers thus far in this expansion. I know I just wrote an article about it the other day. Kind of all of us at one point or another have written an article or done something about one of the changes that has popped up. So we all kind of know how busy we've all been in terms of changing guides, updating WoW Analyzer, you know, moving this and that around. So before we get into what has changed, what are your guys' favorite part of Windwalker? What, you know, to this day, you know, currently right now, not looking back at something that changed, but Mickey, what is your favorite thing about Windwalker right now?
It's got to be mobility. Just easily. Windwalker is actually the first melee spec I ever mained. And just being able to zip around and, you know, dodge mechanics, ignore stuff, because you can just flying serpent kick out of it. That's always the best.
What about you, Kuya?
I'd say the utility they have in dungeons. It's pretty nice.
So I'm going to ask you to explain that a little bit, because utility is one of those words that gets tossed around a lot. So, and it very, for over the past couple years, it was always tossed around in the sentence of Windwalker doesn't have any utility. So in terms of utility, you know, what kind of stuff are you talking about?
Well, like in BFA, they got Lake Sweep baseline. And in BFA dungeons, detox is a lot more useful. So you get to use detox and Ring of Peace and all that more often. I mean, their utility is, because of that, in dungeons is pretty good. I like it.
I would agree. Using detox is definitely something that a lot of healers will point out when you get a melee that's dispelling themselves or dispelling the tank. I know that makes things a lot easier. So, Juko, even though I know you're not currently playing Windwalker, but I know you do, like you said, play some on the side. What is something that you miss the most about Windwalker now that you're not playing it as much?
Well, obviously, mobility as well. Going from a Windwalker monk to a paladin can leave you missing Chi Torpedo and Flying Serpent Kick. But I always, like through Legion, I love the way Windwalker feels very engaging to play, that it's more flexible and you can be punished for pressing a button you shouldn't have. Like, the choices are very complex, and you have to think ahead a lot when playing the spec compared to other melee specs in general, I think.
Definitely. So now, how about your guys' least favorite thing? So, Mickey, what is your least favorite part of Windwalker in BFA?
Oh, boy. There's a lot, but if you go, you have to go with one extreme. I'd have to say the biggest thing that I think we lost and got really no compensation for is self-healing. So, you know, we lost healing elixirs as an option on our defensive row. We lost healing winds, which was the transcendence heal. We lost good karma as a baseline thing, just having it heal you. So really all we have besides hard casting Vivify is afterlife, and that's not really applicable to a lot of situations. So I feel like if you're just like running around, even in the open world, you're just kind of a lot squishier because you have no way to recuperate, and it feels a little weird because we're supposed to be a full hybrid spec. It doesn't really have a great heal.
And what about you, Kuya? What is your least favorite part of Windwalker right now?
Ooh, I need more than one.
Try and be brief.
Kind of hard to say. I think the spinning crank kick change is really annoying, and I don't like it at all. Because in dungeons, like, I used to get excited in Legion when I had so much of mobs. Now it's, like, not the case at all. I did that. I don't know. It's just a touch of karma, I guess.
Just as a whole. I mean, I know you wrote first article about it, so...
And good karma is not good. I'm thankful it's going away, but...
Or at least as much. So, Juko, what about you? What is... maybe what pushed you away from Windwalker?
Yeah, because not a lot changed, but what changed the most was, I think, talents. And actually, the way talents are right now is probably one of the biggest reasons I'm not playing Windwalker. I often look at a spec and see, like, if there's any talent built or something that I do not want to play with. Like, rushing Jade Wind right now just makes the spec feel really slow. And if you mess it up and accidentally cancel it because you pressed Tiger Palm right about 50 energy... and just disables your rushing Jade Wind. Feels really bad. And I wouldn't want to be in a situation where I feel like I have to play this because it's optimal, but it feels really bad to play with. Also having like energizing elixir on global cooldown, and like global cooldowns in general on Windwalker is also really, really tedious. Like, you have to do press 3 buttons just to open your burst rotation. That's a big problem for me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know, especially at the start of the expansion when I was using Energizing Elixir, and you go Energizing Elixir, Touch of Death, plus Storm Earth and Fire, plus Zuin all in one, and you know, really none of those deal direct damage and have much of a feeling. So I absolutely agree that the even though Windwalker was hit the, you know, one of the least numerically in terms of having abilities added to the GCD, it's definitely something that broke up, it still kind of breaks up the flow of Windwalker, which has kind of been so important.
Yeah. Cool, because we already had Touch of Death on the global cooldown just previously, right. So even though we got less added, it just added on to more than nothing.
And they reduce all the cooldowns, like, so yeah, they seem to always be up at the same time, and you kind of have to use them in a row. Yeah, I definitely agree. That's a very rough change. All right. So speaking of changes, I know a couple of you guys did want to kind of briefly go over some of the changes that we've seen. You know, like I said, I did just write the article about it, and it was quite more extensive than I expected it to be when I first sat down to write it. But for our listeners who maybe have not read the article, what, you know, briefly go through, you know, some of the changes that Windwalker has seen over the last couple weeks.
Well, I guess the short of it is, feels like every other week we are either removing a core ability from our rotation or adding it back. So I know in pre-patch, Bach or Blackout Kick was basically our big hitter for some reason, kind of a weird dynamic. Some people liked it, most did not. So we weren't really using Rising Sun Kick. Then a few weeks later, they nerfed Blackout Kick, and it was kind of back to normal, if you want to call it that. And then a few weeks later, we're using Swift Roundhouse, and we're not using Fist of Fury, basically in our single target rotation. And then a few weeks later, we get it back, and so on and so forth.
That was brief.
Yeah.
Anybody want to add anything else to it, or?
I was giving a summary. I wasn't really discussing yet.
Yeah, no, that's what.
I don't know about like the talents they had in Alpha, but that's a long time
ago. Yeah, that's a big one.
Where they had like in the 60 row, instead of being a utility tier, it was a damage tier, and at some point they removed that and put back a utility tier, which is fine. But they never told us why they wanted to do that.
Well, they also
felt weird.
Yeah, they had a. They had the weird effect when they did that. So, you know, to shove out this utility row, they ended up giving us Ring of Peace baseline, which was super nice and probably a little too good, which they realized. But they also they mixed up our defensive and mobility rows. So you could have 3 T-Torpedoes and no defensive, or 2 defensives and just 2 rolls and nothing else. So it was a little strange. But instead of, you know, just straightening that part out and leaving the new damage row, it was kind of squashed everything and went back to how it used to be.
And then at some point they brought Power Strikes down to the 100 row, and then I think that row had a pretty good balance of Power Strikes in it, and then out of nowhere they just removed it, put Spiritual Focus in there.
Yeah, that's definitely, I remember writing the article about that and being like, oh, this actually fits really well. I didn't think it fit well, and everyone was like, this is, you know, ridiculous. And then kind of when we all sat down and looked at it, we're like, oh, it actually fits pretty well into this spot. And it's a little bit more engaging than, you know, like a Chi Orbit or something like that. So that was one that I was like, okay, cool. This was a positive step. And then poof, it was gone.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the Alpha changes, honestly.
And seemingly a lot of the changes since it's been live.
Yeah.
Good Karma is a good example. Like, I think that was like one of the last changes they made to Windwalker in the beta was they added Good Karma, and then that was it.
Yeah, who would have thought that, you know, a last minute let's throw this talent in could be such a pain point.
No. But yeah, so let's talk about that for a second. Good Karma's kind of been a huge topic of conversation really for weeks, maybe months at this point. You know, so Kuya, since, you know, you wrote the original article about it, you know, for the people listening who maybe aren't quite as familiar with what is the problem or why it's a problem, you know, can you explain what is Good Karma and why it's something that we all seem to lament?
So Good Karma is a talent in the 60 tier that makes it so that your Touch of Karma redirects an additional 50% of your max health and damage. So basically it just puts a damage talent in a utility row, which in itself is bad, but also just the play style that comes from that, where you're standing and stuff to take damage so that you can do damage with Touch of Karma, isn't a healthy way to play. And it just creates this dynamic where you're just trying to abuse Touch of Karma the most because it's one of your highest damage spells with this talent.
And it definitely, you know, That's something that I know a lot of people have been complaining about, is that you then want to, you want to stand in fire, you want to take a cleave, you know, you feel like you have to do all these extra ridiculous things to try and get the most out of your Windwalker because, you know, it can be upwards of 10% of your total damage. You know, that was kind of something that we all saw coming, and yet it still came.
I think part of it stems from the stat squish that happened. It's just doing percentage of your health and damage right now is too strong. That's also why you see TOD so high on the damage meters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I know in the feedback post for the WoW subreddit that we're going to start compiling, I have some notes about that too, in terms of Tuts of Death damage, for one thing, just being a little too high for just a button you push every 2 minutes and, you know, maybe burst a little inside of. Seems like we could benefit from having that damage reduced a little and then spread into other core abilities so that you don't feel as useless outside of those type of cooldowns. But for Karma, I mean, I have to say, I do see the appeal as the devil's advocate of just being able to, you know, learn a fight really well and learn exactly what abilities the boss casts that do the right amount of health for you so you could soak them perfectly and then, you know, have this huge amount of damage coming out. Like, the best example is always Surging Darkness or, you know, the donuts on Zekvaz, where they pretty much happen once every minute and a half, same as Karma, and you get to just ignore the rest of your raid where they're all running outside and you're like, I'm better than you and I can stand in this. You pop Karma on the boss and you just stand in it and kill it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's something that when I do sit on Zekvaz and I don't have to run out for that, I'm like, oh yeah, this is actually really great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking any damage. Nobody's going to care. I'm not getting in trouble. Like, yeah, that always feels pretty nice. But it, you know, it does have its pros and its cons, and it's something that we've kind of dealt with for years. It just all of a sudden went to a really crazy place that none of us really were expecting or prepared for, I guess.
I think with the 8-1 change, the good Karma making it the heal, it's a step in the right direction, but I still don't think it's going to solve the problem of Karma. I think if you want to maximize your Windwalker, you're still going to want to stand and stuff with such Karma.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. I definitely don't think the PTR change right now, you know, as of, this is the night of October 6th, so who knows, in 12 hours this could be outdated. But right now on PTR, the only change is getting rid of good Karma, so you still have baseline Touch of Karma doing 50% of your health every minute and a half, which is still a pretty sizable amount right now. I kind of like that. I'd like to see that go down a little more, and maybe the heal be baseline, but I know that's kind of wishing at that point. But I'm still hoping for a little more in terms of change in that regard.
Definitely. All right, so moving aside from, moving away from the changes that we've seen, Mythic Dungeons, you know, that's something that Windwalker, at least at the end of, I mean, really throughout all of Legion, but really saw a lot of attention for at the end of Legion, especially in regards to the MDI. You had people running with 1, 2, 3 Windwalkers in a group, you know, doing some silly things. And obviously now if you kind of look around, Windwalkers certainly are not as well represented in that same bit of content. In terms of Mythic Dungeons, how do you three think feel? How do you feel that Windwalker is right now?
I think for like a perspective of most people that just do like a plus 10, maybe 11, 12 keys or lower even, Windwalkers are actually completely fine for dungeons because we bring in, as mentioned earlier, utility in the form of Mystic Touch, AoE stun, possibly even Ring of Peace, and the season Poison Dispel, and paralysis as well. Like, all these kind of things that just gives a broad array of utility can really fit in a lot of things missing in a dungeon group.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. And I think we're still not, you know, we're definitely not bad or anything for Mythics. I just think coming from Legion, where we were sort of the king of AoE at the end of it and, you know, destroying every pack we got our hands on, doesn't feel so great. And of course, no one's going to say a nerf feels great. But, you know, the utility is useful. You mentioned Ring of Peace, and for some people, they just don't even consider that an option because good Karma exists on the same row. So, you know, that's another thing that would, you know, hopefully be helped by the good Karma change. But also Mystic Touch being a benefit is definitely nice, because, you know, there's always going to be you doing damage as a Windwalker who benefits from that. There's going to be your tank doing physical damage. But if you're running in, you know, say, Windwalker and two Frost Mages or something, you're going to be the only DPS actually getting a benefit from that. So it's almost worse than if they brought a Demon Hunter or something for that part.
So you don't know. I'm like right now I'm the number one rated Windwalker in US for Mythic Plus on Raider.io. And I have a lot of experience with high keys. And it seems like Windwalker isn't popular. I think partially because Mistweaver and Brewmaster are so strong right now that it makes Windwalker less good, just because a lot of the monk utility, I would say almost all the monk utility, is just that. It's monk utility, it's not Windwalker specific. So as a result, it makes Windwalker weaker. On top of that, Windwalker's AoE damage in packs is really weak, I would say. Like, Crane Kick is kind of a wet noodle right now. And just, we kind of, like, just do less damage than Havoc, and we're kind of comparable in toolkits a lot of the time. So that's saying it's why we're not really represented as much.
Yeah, definitely a good point, in that a lot of the stuff that a Windwalker brings really can be brought through Mistweaver and Brewmaster, who are both really kind of at the top of their respective roles right now. So even if, you know, even though Windwalker is good, you know, if you kind of, if you're aiming to have one of the best healers or one of the best tanks, you might have some of this monk stuff already covered. So I think that's good. So how about your guys' experience? What is your most and your least favorite mythic dungeon to run through?
I'll say for me, least favorite, I can't explain why. It'd probably be Shrine of the Storm, but I don't know. I don't know why. For most, I don't know. Probably King's Rest or like Freehold. One of those two.
Yeah, I would say I like Atal Dazar. I don't know if I love it, because I don't really know if I love any of the BFA dungeons for us right now. But Atal Dazar, I became very familiar with trying to run on Heroic every day for the first 3 weeks of the expansion to get these Swift Roundhouse Shoulders that dropped from the end of it. Mm. So maybe it's just that I know it more than some of the others, but I'm a fan of Atal Dazar.
And how are those working for you right now?
What, the Swift Roundhouse Shoulders?
Yeah.
I think I still have them on, actually. I don't have good shoulder drops, but yikes.
So what about your least favorite?
Honestly, this is probably just more because of aesthetics and stuff than actual gameplay, but I really don't like Underrot that much. Although it does have the cool trick where you can diffuse magic on the third boss and also pop karma. So you could run into a ton of mushrooms on that boss, you know, that you're going to have to pop anyway with mechanics, and have karma up for that. And then when you have all the debuffs, you can just diffuse magic back onto the boss, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that is pretty nice. I definitely enjoyed karma on that boss too. Yeah. Jugo, what about you? I know you know you're not playing Windwalker, but you do Mythic Dungeons, I'm assuming.
I do Dungeons, yeah.
What's your favorite and least favorite?
I don't think I have a favorite dungeon. I think actually both Underrot and Shrine of the Storm that you mentioned are like, I like those dungeons actually. I think the dungeon I don't like is Motherlode, because I don't know, the mechanics in there aren't really interesting, and a lot of the trash is just, it does stuff that you can't do anything about. Like I think it's before the second boss, with the mobs that just do something that can't be interrupted, it can't be stunned. They just spam cast on the tank and it deals a shit ton of damage. That's just all they do. So you just have to kill them fast. Not very interesting. And I think that's, like, in general, a lot what happens throughout the dungeon.
Good. All right, so, I mean, anything else you guys want to add about Mythic Dungeons before we move on to raids?
Now that I'm looking at the list, actually, I forgot about Tol D'Hulor, which is it's just not the greatest, you know? You're kind of cramped into these hallways all the way up to the top, and then you're just cheesing ranged mobs with a cannon. It's not, yeah. I don't know, I've just never loved that dungeon. It seems like they tried to do a kind of Court of Stars feel, where you have, you know, in this case a rogue or an inscriptionist that can really help you out. but just didn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah, see, when you said that, like, aesthetically, you know, which one you didn't have a problem with, I assumed that it was going to be Toggledore, because that, visually, for me, is just the worst.
I actually like Toggledore a lot from a Windwalker's perspective.
What for?
Just, like, it's really easy to karma on those bosses. Like, it's the second boss, it's really easy to stand in knives. Third boss, you just stand in stuff. Last boss, you just stand in stuff. It's actually pretty nice.
I mean, last boss, if we're talking about Toggledore, we have to mention the whole Whirling Dragon Punch counts as movement thing.
That's true.
You know, fills your bar, I think, 24 out of 100, three jumps. So that's, you know, realistically, you know, just don't move. You'll be fine, but come on.
I was actually thinking of cool tricks in dungeons before we started, and I thought of two. The first one is the first boss in Toggledore. You can actually avoid the upheaval with Transcendence just completely, all the damage and everything. You just put a Transcendence down, you walk out, and then, like, one, I think if you have boss timers, 1.5 seconds till upheaval hits, you just TP it and you just avoid it completely. And then last boss, King's Rest, is similar. With the leap, you just put a Transcendence down, roll away, and then as he gets jumped to you, just TP back, take no damage.
The only one that I know someone mentioned the other day, which is honestly not super helpful, but is kind of a fun trick, for Temple of Sethrilus, you can chi burst through the opening wall. You can do this in every dungeon, but for Temple, you chi burst through that opening wall while the 10-second countdown is going on, and you can pull the first pack early. So might as well.
Cool. All right, so let's move into raids. How do you guys feel that Windwalkers are doing at the various bosses and stuff we have in Old Deer?
Seems like we're performing well, at least.
Yeah, the numbers are there, but I think a lot of people are concerned about their, like, DPS spot in the top end, because Uldir, especially the last two bosses and also some of the, like, at the middle bosses are not very friendly to melee in general, and you are required to have, like, at least one warrior and one demon hunter. And then you'll also bring some rogues, probably. Frost DK is really great as well. And you just cannot fit much else in there. So Windwalkers often see themselves on the bench because of that.
Yeah, I think... Go ahead, Mickey.
Yeah, just from a more probably casual point of view, as I do a lot of pugging, not really in a guild or anything right now, the only thing that I have to say is definitely nice is that we're so good on running orbs on Gahoon, because that will get you into groups just straight up for being a Windwalker monk or a monk in general. Just that we can solo them even without a Warlock Gate if you place a Transcendence beforehand is super helpful to your group. And I know that's not, you know, the biggest deal overall for the entire raid, but if you're really just trying to get a Gahoon kill, it's being a Windwalker is a pretty nice bonus.
I think one thing that's not stated is, like, our damage is good in raids. It's just the way we get the damage is not the greatest feeling.
Yep.
What do you mean by that?
Like, just having to stand and stuff, touch karma, like, a good karma, and having to figure that out for each boss.
Feeling. I've got a helpful pin in the Wind Discussion channel you might want to check out.
That's good. Yeah, no, I agree. I think Windwalkers are in a good place right now, DPS-wise. I think, like Juko mentioned, you know, the problem is that a lot of other melee specs specifically are just doing better. Like, if you look at, and I happen to just do this before we all sat down here to discuss this, but, you know, if you look at the data on Warcraft logs, Windwalker is kind of nice in the middle, upper middle section overall. But if you take out and just look at melee, then the comparison to other melee is really very rough for Windwalker. And, you know, a big part of that is, other specs having, or other classes having different specs to switch to, or the fact that on Zul you need, you know, of your 20-man raid, 18 of them to be rogues or whatever, and, you know, stuff like that. I do think that we're at kind of a weird place where Windwalkers are really doing fine, but it doesn't look like they're doing fine because everybody else is just happens to be doing more than fine.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what Yuko mentioned is true there too. If we're okay overall, but we're not great in melee, there's definitely a lot of bosses that have, you know, a mechanic similar to spread out X yards. Mithrax and Goon come to mind, where if you have a lot of melee, it's just not going to be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mithrax, Goon, Zul has been difficult. We happen to have two of our best, I don't say two of our best melee, but in our raid, it is myself and another Windwalker, and we like both can't be in on Zul at the same time because we just cannot control our AoE enough to, you know, to really be very useful. You know, you got Fetid where you want to limit the amount of melee to take up space. Like, melee spots are definitely at a premium right now, and I think it's difficult because, you know, if you're just going to compare melee to range, in general, melee specs are doing pretty noticeable more damage than range specs. You know, some of that is encounter design and all that stuff are just straight up tuning, but melee spots specifically are, I feel like, at more of a premium than they really have been consistently in previous expansions, or at least in Legion, where we saw, you know, here every once in a while, yeah, you kind of want to stack rogues, or yeah, you kind of want to do this or do that, but, you know, or Fallen Avatar, where, hey, you really kind of want some Windwalkers on your team. But, like, right now, it's kind of very consistent, and it seems to always be somebody different that you're really looking at, you know, having to stack or wanting to stack. So that kind of leaves Windwalkers in a really goofy place. Even though we are, you know, good Windwalkers, very useful on movement fights like Fetid, or, you know, we can do some things to really get a bunch out of Mother with Touch of Karma and all of our AoE. And then you got running Gahoon Orbs, which saves just so much time. You know, Windwalker can do in 10 seconds what it takes others 20 to 25 to do. You know, and often two people. So it is kind of a weird gray area at times, even though Windwalker is really technically outside of that top level of pushing progression. Windwalker is really going to be more than enough. You know, if you're doing heroic or normal where you're not capped with as many people, you know, when you can go up to 30 instead of 20, there's really no reason to say, no, I don't want any Windwalkers at this point.
Yeah, I think something else to mention is just that, you know, we have our monk utility and also our Windwalker utility, I guess, but some of that is not quite as useful in a raid than a dungeon. You know, something like detox, there's not really as many uses for in a raid, and it's also with a bigger group, like a raid group, you're probably going to have a Brewmaster or a Mistweaver, or maybe you, the Windwalker, but, you know, for something like Ring of Peace on Mithrax, the other specs for Monk don't have to sacrifice good karma and sacrifice DPS to be able to take something like Ring of Peace. So just things are covered more already by them. And also, you know, say, look at something like Warrior's Commanding Shout, which is useful in a dungeon and even more useful in a raid because you're hitting more people. We just don't have anything that really affects the entire group like that.
For movement speed.
Yeah, I mean, windwalking, that's something.
There's that. But all right, so yeah. How about, you know, we talked about your most and least favorite mythic dungeons. What is your most and least favorite raid bosses right now?
I mean, favorite, it has to be Zekvaz. He's just, I like him. I don't know, he's just my style of boss. You have a bunch of burst AoE, kind of like the hectic ag cleave. And maybe I liked them a lot more when we had Cancel Aura, and you could kind of destroy the little ads with Whirling Dragon Punch. But karma lines up really nicely on that boss. You can hold cooldowns and get mind controlled at the end and do a ton of damage. Maybe it's just that I have a 99 on that, but I like that boss a lot.
Yeah, I can see why you would. What about you, Kuya? What's your favorite boss?
I think for me, surprisingly, Vectis. I think it's a fight that Windwalker does a lot better on than I thought they would. I don't know. I guess I underestimated the cancel, only Dragon Punch cleave under the ad, but we're actually pretty good on that fight, and it's pretty fun to do that.
Yeah, see, and that Vectis is my favorite as well, so that's not surprising to me at all. I think that fight just, even though Zekvaz absolutely does have things that fit into a Windwalker's toolkit, I just really like kind of Vectis's design as a whole. I think it's probably the best designed fight in Uldir right now, from my opinion. What about you, Juko? What's your favorite?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Mickey on Zekvaz as well. I feel like it's one of the fights where you're actually challenged on a like personal gameplay more than like Uldir in general is a lot about raid management. Like my least favorite fight is Mother, because I don't feel like I have any personal optimization to do on the fight whatsoever as a DPS. Like, I know I'm going to use my burst cooldown twice in the fight, and I have to save it for the last phase. That's about it. Everything else is what the raid leader tells me what to do. And often you see yourself walking through and then just standing in a room waiting for the boss to come. But on, like, Zekvaz, you're always having to, like, react to, did I get the roiling deceit debuff? Where do I have to go to dodge and also adjust so I don't get hit by I-beams? Like, there's a lot more stuff for you to personally be looking out for dodging and managing.
Definitely. I absolutely agree, especially on the Mother thing. So then, Juko, would you say that Mother is your least favorite of the raid bosses?
Yes, exactly.
So what about you guys, Kuya and Mickey? What are your least favorite raid bosses?
Zul.
And how come?
Zul at all. It's the chaotic fight that Windwalker really isn't good on, at least on Mythic. But like, I don't know. I just think it's poorly designed from my perspective. It's not really fun to do. Like, you get like zero FPS the whole time, and you're just killing stuff and hoping it dies before you do.
Yeah, I'd say probably Zul or Mithrax. Same reasons for Zul. It just feels a little hectic, and like maybe it's just the strat that everyone's doing, at least on Heroic, where you just kind of zerg the boss and, you know, CC the adds and ignore them. But that's just, it feels like a fight that people kind of looked at it and they said, no, let's figure something else out, and kind of cheesed it. And then Mithrax,
yep.
I feel like you're just not in control of a lot of the mechanics. Like, you know, you have to spread, and you can spread, and then only one person will get hit by them. And I guess that's okay. And then you need someone designated to bumping them out. Maybe I would like this fight a lot more if we didn't have Karma, because you could take Ring of Peace. You could feel like you're helping your group by actually bumping people out of the orbs. But I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed by Mithrax.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, right now we're progressing on Zul, or at least we were this past week. We almost got a kill, but, you know, definitely that feeling of, you know, for me, Zul is all about, like, there's so much going on around me that I have no interest in. Like, here's all these targets I could hit. Here's all these things I could do. And my job is to specifically not do these things and really just focus on the boss. And I absolutely agree that it was kind of like a fight that the designers were like, okay, well, here's how we want people to do it. And then people were like, yeah, no, we're not doing it that way. We're going to do it this way, because this way is much easier and your way is whatever. Like, we were talking about that as we progressed, and it was like, if, you know, because we only have two rogues on our main roster, so we have one person on an alt right now. And even with three rogues, it's a little rougher than we would like it to be. And it's kind of like, okay, well, if we don't have the rogues, how is this fight supposed to go? And everyone was kind of like, we'll just get rogues. Like, and it was just, it just is an odd fight. And then I definitely think would agree with Juko, you know, on Mother, in terms of just feeling like you're just kind of along for the ride, and that there's really not much that you're there to do. I think the fight is relatively boring. It's kind of a little bit fancier than trash, in my opinion. Like, it's just kind of, yeah, okay, you do this, you do that. I tend to die for some reason on that fight. I think I've stayed alive like 1 out of 4 times or something. So that probably helps why I don't like it. But, you know, it definitely is a fight that just feels weird.
Just another note on Mother. I know being, you know, pugging a lot and stuff, especially in the first few weeks. You know, the raid leader would go through and make groups before Mother and, you know, scan through the melee and everything. And he would see, oh, we have a Windwalker. He has Leg Sweep. Let's send him through first. And then you walk through first and you Leg Sweep the first set of adds, and it's kind of hard. And then you just kind of sit there for 3 minutes while everyone else comes through.
Yep. Yeah, we had, like I said, we had two Windwalkers. So I would go over first and the other one would go over last. And I was like, well, this sucks. He's over there doing stuff. And I'm like over here picking my nose. Definitely. All right. So anything else anybody wants to add about raids or anything before we move on to the next topic?
I'm good.
One thing I like about Udyr is actually good karma isn't too bad to play with in Udyr. We were worried that you'd have to taunt the boss all the time to get a good efficiency with it, but mechanics line up really well and you can soak stuff really easy on most bosses, so that's a good thing that even though good karma is a pain to play with, it's not too bad right now because of the design in Udyr.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think kind of you realize that it's not, or you think it's not as bad when you do Udyr, and then you do, for example, a bunch of Mythic Plus where you might not know as the bosses or the trash mechanics as well and can't really get a full karma off on a big trash mob, for example. And then you realize why it's a problem, but when you go in Udyr, you kind of forget that for a little bit.
Yeah, especially when there are fights like Zekvaz where you're like, oh, this is actually really great to have. And then you kind of forget the 99 other times that it's been a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to our last topic. I believe, you know, we should just have a moment of silence for Windwalker PvP. Good. Good silence, guys. Good work. All right. So, so we'll briefly talk about PvP. I know we talked really none of us actually PvP, but at the moment it seems like nobody actually PvPs with Windwalker. So could somebody maybe talk about where, you know, where or why, we, you know, we're kind of memeing on Windwalker PvP right now?
I don't know. Yeah, it felt like everything they've done to Windwalker has just taken away stuff from especially PvP Windwalkers. Like taking away the stun, increasing the cooldown on paralysis, forcing. I think there's a stun duration on Leg Sweep go down to? I don't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, it went from 5 to 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there have been a lot of things. A lot of the stuff that we saw changed for PvE really had a huge effect on PvP. You know, the biggest thing, obviously, you know, being the Swift Roundhouse change, where, you know, Swift Roundhouse was really strong for Windwalker PvE. Obviously, far and away the best trait. Everyone here pretty much agrees that it needed a nerf. But the problem was, Swift Roundhouse was really strong because we used Serenity, we did this, we did that, and that's what made it strong. Once we took away Swift Roundhouse, okay, well, then we just switched to Whirling Dragon Punch, we had these other traits. I know the article I wrote, you know, initially was like, oh man, we're going to lose like 15% damage, and then it came out that we had these other options, so we really didn't lose that much damage, whereas Windwalker PvP didn't really have the alternatives. You know, I think Mickey mentioned, you know, before we started talking about this, that Windwalkers are generally still aiming to have Swift Roundhouse traits for PvP. I mean, if you have to look at your best trait for PvP being a trait that was nerfed by 35% and then 55%, and PvP, you were probably balanced for that way back before it was nerfed. Like, yeah, that was just a huge hit. You know, I don't PvP, so I'm not feeling any of it. But, you know, I think, you know, it would feel really bad. I do feel, you know, my heart does kind of go out to the people who really enjoy Windwalker and want to PvP as Windwalker, because I can't imagine it is easy going right now.
Yeah, I have like 2 points about this. The first is that I think during the actual beta and before release, there were a lot of changes that were, I don't know if they were aimed at PvP more or they were aimed at both halves. But for example, you know, increasing the cooldown on paralysis, increasing the cooldown on transcendence, removing the transcendence heal, that, you know, were definitely stronger in PvP than PvE, but had a nice effect in PvE, and it kind of hurts to lose them there, but you can see why they did it when you look at PvP. And then now, post-release, it's sort of the opposite. How you're saying, you know, we get Swift Roundhouse nerfed like to a third of its original value, and that was really a PvE change, but now it's affecting PvP negatively. And I still think, from what I've seen at least, this is, I'm by no means a real PvPer, but Flying Serpent Kick nerf. I think that was probably half aimed at PvP also. But I feel like as a class design, they're kind of torn between should we be bursty or should we not be as bursty? And if we're supposed to be bursty, it doesn't make a ton of sense in PvP when people can just kind of walk away from your burst because it takes so long and you don't have a lot of stuns.
Definitely. All right, so before we move on, because I know we kind of mentioned that really none of us PvP, is there anything else anyone wants to add about the sad state of Windwalker PvP?
Oh, I know the point, I forgot. So this has to do with our cancel aura, and this is another case of a post-release PvE change affecting PvP.
There you go, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, so just small background, if you didn't know, we had a bug with Storm, Earth, and Fire, where as the clones came back to you, as they despawned, you could pull off one move for basically triple damage a lot of the time. And there was a way to force this and make it a lot easier to accomplish by essentially right-clicking off the buff for Storm, Earth, and Fire, but you didn't actually right-click, you used a macro, but for the same effect. You canceled Storm, Earth, and Fire early. And, you know, instead of actually fixing this bug, it still exists in the game right now, they just removed the ability to cancel Storm, Earth, and Fire. And that's not a huge deal in PvE. You basically never wanted to cancel it anyway. But I know in PvE, in PvP rather, if you ever pop Storm, Earth, and Fire and say you're facing a mage comp and they CC your clones and, you know, they can't even auto-attack, they're just out of range, now you can't really do anything about that. You can't just cancel it back to make yourself do 100% damage instead of 45. You just kind of sit there until the buff ends. So that's definitely another PvE change that is not good at all for PvP.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was another one of those things that they, you know, because of that, just because of the way that they fixed it, you know, everybody was, it kind of became a much bigger problem for Windwalkers in PvP than in PvE. But all right, so, you know, let's, you know, as we get to start to kind of wrap up, you know, the end of this podcast, so. One thing we did last week with Miss Weavers that I think was a really good idea, you know, if each of you guys had one question to answer so that we would never get asked it again, you know, Mickey, what would your question that you would like everybody to understand the answer to so that we don't have to hear it ever again?
Just even looking at the Wing Questions channel right now, it is the most recent question. Downtime is normal. It's fine to have periods when you are just kind of sitting there waiting for energy waiting for energy so that you can Tiger Palm or waiting for resources so you don't have to spam Blackout Kick just to do damage. Auto attacking does damage. This is, you know, shouldn't be a surprise, but if you're coming from, say, like a caster, I know it's not always obvious. Auto attacks, especially in Battle for Azeroth, do damage. You're fine if you're not always casting something, and I know this is different from Antorus, where we basically were always casting something.
Definitely good advice. That I think that was the example I gave last week for what I wanted everyone to know, is that downtime is good. So what about you, Kuya? What is your one thing that if you could answer now and never hear it again that you would want answered?
I guess the Rolling Dragon Punch bug thing. People keep asking me, like, it's still a thing, right? And I'm like, yeah, kind of. You can still do it. It's just a lot harder to do it. Now you have to wait until, like, there's 1 second left on your Storm, Earth, and Fire, and then you can do it.
So what about you, Juko?
Yeah, I think I think the two others are really good, but I think right now especially is the way you combine cooldowns that people seem to be very confused about. That, like, should we press Touch of Death before Stormwrath and Fire or after Stormwrath and Fire? Should I be holding my Stormwrath and Fire for Touch of Death? Should I be holding anything for... And there, people are not understanding the flexibility of, like, the spec, or, like, that it's more important to have extra second in Stormwrath and Fire than it is to have a second in Touch of Death, or how marginal it actually is to have your karma being done during Touch of Death, something like that. Like, people are stressing it too much and not thinking about aligning it with the fight instead of just, should I hold it?
Yeah, and if I can speak to that one a little more, for example, I know a few weeks ago when we were running, we were all trying to run Serenity in Swift Roundhouse, people kept asking, should I be holding Serenity for 30 seconds just so I can get the extra 10% damage of Touch of Death? And of course, the answer is no. It's only 10% damage. It's really not that big of a deal. You're more likely to miss a cast of Serenity that way. And especially with Stormwrath and Fire, it has two charges. You should basically never have to hold it for anything, because hold it in this case would mean sit on two charges. So it should basically always be recharging. And, you know, if it lines up with Touch of Death and you can get everything in, go for it. But it's not like that's a huge priority. This is something I saw a lot with the openers, too, when I was doing them, where basically, you know, even though there's an optimal opener and it does slightly more damage and everything, you're basically getting all the same casts in the same amount of time. It's more of which one gets a 10% boost, which one gets a 35% boost. And these are all pretty minor things in the end of it. Everything was basically within, you know, 5% damage of each other if you were getting the same cast in the same time. The modifiers from Touch of Death, mostly, and to an extent Stormwrath and Fire, are really not a huge deal.
Yeah, I think those are really good points, because I think we still do get a lot of questions about especially Touch of Death and Stormwrath and Fire, and it kind of, as soon as you bring up to somebody that, you know, okay, well, Touch of Death is 10%, and Stormwrath and Fire is 35, everyone's kind of like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, and is really not a huge deal. Like, you know, I think those are the things kind of that people tend to overthink, rather than, you know, like Juko said, really kind of go with the flow or adapt to what's going on and maybe get stuck on things a little bit too much.
I think just something that just popped into my head is people are kind of thinking about it. Like, this might be not be a reference that a lot of people get, but 7.0 Fire Mage, where a lot of your damage, like, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but a huge amount of your damage was loaded into this 10-second combustion window. And what you did in that window had to be, you know, perfect, and you had to get everything you could in that window, because outside of it, you really didn't do a ton. And Windwalker is very much not like that. You know, Touch of Death and Karma do a lot, so you do have a lot of damage that you can see in your meter comes from cooldowns, but we do damage outside of those. It's not like Fire Mage, where you were just, you know, smacking stuff with a noodle until combustion came up.
Definitely. All right, so we kind of covered the next thing as far as advice. I think that pretty much covers it. So we'll get to the questions. So every week we're trying to take some questions from our Patreon patrons. You know, they help support the site. They help support all the work that we do. So we do try to give back to them a little bit in terms of letting them ask some questions. So we do have two questions that we can get to. The first one is from Waif Brew, and he asked, do you guys prefer a slow play style or a fast play style?
Fast, just right there. Antorus Windwalker was very fun to me. I liked having to press something every second. I still, even though my whole question that I answered was downtime is normal, doesn't mean I like it.
What about you, Kuya? Slow or fast?
It doesn't really matter to me too much, because on one hand, I play Windwalker, which is one of the lower APM specs right now, and then I also play a Fury Warrior alt, and I like both equally. It's just a preference thing at the time, I think.
Juko, what about you?
Yeah, I think both are interesting as well. I think I like the faster, maybe a bit more, but I didn't like Antorus because it wasn't just because it was fast. It was because it was random. Really, really, you could still be sitting 3 or 4 seconds without nothing to do. But if you were having back-to-back 3 blackout kick procs, then you would be overflowing and you wouldn't know what to do with your resources. You had too much chi, you had too much energy, and that would feel equally as bad because you know that you were going to be needing it later, maybe, because you'll be sitting and waiting later. And I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I think my opinion on this question is pretty well known, that I do prefer things to be a little bit slower. You know, I do like to say that I like the pace of things more. You know, I didn't mind Antorus, you know, as much as, you know, because things were a little bit more consistent. I would not, even though I've always thematically liked the idea of a fire mage, the idea of all of my damage being in one little window just sounds horrible to me. I like that there's downtime for me to think about what's kind of come up. I like that. And I like the downtime is kind of nicely, evenly spread out. There's not a lot of time as a Windwalker where you're sitting there for 3, 4, 5 seconds just kind of waiting. Most of the time it's, okay, I have this to do, or I have this that I can fill in, or, okay, I don't want to do this because then I can't do something else. You know, I like that those decisions are there and that, you know, you can play, you know, you do have that time. You're not... I kind of feel that some specs are just a little frantic and that it's very difficult to really understand what I'm supposed to be pressing because there seems to be so many things going on at the same time.
Actually, something I want to say on that, like comparing Windwalker in Antorus to, you know, a Fury Warrior now or something where you're actually pressing something every GCD, I did like that even though you're pressing something every time you should, you had the little windows of Fist of Fury and for Antorus, the legendary chest, where you were channeling for 3 or 4 seconds, and you did have that little bit of downtime to kind of think about what's coming next or look at mechanics or whatever, but you still felt like you were doing something because you were actively using an ability.
Definitely, and I think that's a really good point. I think that's something that I got into discussions with people a lot in Antorus because, okay, well, do you consider a Crackling Jade Lightning channel or a Fist of Fury channel downtime? You're not pressing anything for 3 to 4 seconds. Is that downtime? You know, like, that definition of downtime always seems to be a little ambiguous for my tastes. You know, if you're still auto attacking, is it really downtime?
Yeah, I think it had the positive parts of downtime where you had a space to think, but it didn't have the negative parts of downtime where you feel like you're not doing anything. That's why I liked it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's good. And I think that's a big part of that is why a lot of people really consider Antorus Windwalker to be kind of the pinnacle of the spec that we've seen, although I know a lot of people also think very fondly back to Tomb and the 6-piece bonus and just kind of how that flowed from one ability into the other. I know that that was really an enjoyable time for a lot of people as well.
Yeah. I think it's weird that we always mention Antorus when talking about being GCD locked, when I think actually in Tomb of Sargeras with the 6-PC, we were even more guaranteed to be locked into a GCD if you were playing it correctly, at least.
Yeah, like that was the time we were even recommending Eye of the Tiger sometimes because you didn't really have space to cast Chi Wave. Although, whoops, turns out you could proc Concordance.
Yeah, and I just like that playstyle, you know, where, you know, we were canceling the end of Fists of Fury or whatever, you know, during Serenity into Rising Sun Kick. Like, I like that flow. I liked going from one thing, you know, into the other. It felt very Windwalker-y, more so than, say, you know, my least favorite time ever playing Windwalker, which was during Hellfire Citadel with Chi Explosion and just that proc fiesta that was Windwalker at the time. You know, that for me, that felt like there was no flow, whereas Throne or Tomb really did feel like there was had a very nice flow between all the abilities. All right, so we'll get to the second and last question. This one is from Drew Burt. He's asking specifically about the new Azurite traits. that we just got teased out. He said, how significant of a buff to our AoE is the new Spinning Crane Kick Azurite trait? Is it enough to bring our AoE close to its former Legion glory? And if not, what are some ways that we'd buff our AoE damage? So let's look at the first part. You know, how big of a deal is this new Azurite trait? And will it bring us back to the AoE gods that we were in Legion?
No. Short answer. But, you know, at least from what I can see, it seems like it's a pretty small proc. I think the number that Babs found was 2 procs per minute. And it's, what is it, like 1,000 damage or something to Spinning Crane Kick?
Yeah, something like
tiny,
that.
Right? Yeah, that's I would not call that glory, in my opinion. It's going to be, you know, an extra Bach or Rising Sun Kick or something. It's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, my thought to that was that, like, we kind of just have to put up our hands right now and say, we have to wait and see. You know, a lot of my thought with it being 1,000 is, okay, well, if that's the base at, like, 300 item level, and then it scales, you know, whatever, then, okay, maybe it is going to be all right. But right now, I just don't think we have any chance, you know, of having any idea about it.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is, I don't think we know yet if it applies before the stacks or not. So you can get another 50% on that. And, you know, depending on how it scales, maybe it could be okay. But
And we could very much get in a situation like we did with Swift Roundhouse, where we found out that that damage was being applied before the aura buffs. Like, Spinning Crane Kick has like 100-something% aura buff on it. So if that gets applied before that, then yeah, maybe this trait is going to be bananas. But that's, you know, it took us how many weeks to figure out that Swift Roundhouse was getting applied before the Rising Sun Kick auras. And I would like to assume that Blizzard's not going to make that same goof twice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basing this off WoWhead numbers, so I could be completely wrong and we could come back and listen to this and laugh in a few weeks. But we could also be completely right now, and then in one of their famous trait tuning passes, it could get buffed 300%, and suddenly Spinning Crane Kick is our top single target damage ability or something ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, just like I pulled up my spreadsheet to see, like, if you, you know, the difference between this trait being applied before and after the aura is like 300% damage.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, maybe I mean, yeah, if it gets applied before the aura, and then yeah, even that, it might be too strong. You know, if it's adding 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 damage per target, maybe it's per tick. I mean, you know, there's so much data that we need to be able to figure out to really have a good answer to that question.
Yeah, totally fair. Just reading the WoWhead tooltip as we have it, I would say no. But again, could be completely off.
Well, and, you know, we did just get the response from Blizzard, you know, a couple days ago at this point, you know, that they like to keep their tooltips very simple so as to not overcomplicate and confuse people. You know, so why would
be given,
right. What could possibly be confusing about almost no information?
Yeah, what could be confusing about calls forth a tentacle to serve you for 20 seconds?
Right, exactly. All right, so, you know, talking about that, then how do you guys think, how would you guys like to see Windwalker's AoE damage increase? Because I know that's something that really, you know, if you were to point to kind of the biggest change from Legion to now, it would be the loss of that real AoE strength identity that we had in Legion.
I've said this a lot of times, but I would increase the amount of Mark of the Cranes that can be applied, the max stacks, to 7, and then increase Mark of the Crane to 15% up from 10. So we go from a max of 50% to 135%. I just think that there should be like a best case scenario with Spinning Crane Kick. Like, I know in Legion, like, when you saw a bunch of mobs, you got super excited, you wanted to tag all of them, but now it's like you hit 5 and you're like, oh, all right, I guess it's time to do my thing.
Yeah, they completely remove the gameplay almost, because you just, oftentimes you just use Storm, Earth, and Fire. You press your abilities 2 or 3 times, and then you have all the stacks you need. Like, you don't have to think about it anymore. and that's a shame. And it's not impactful either. Like, having more stacks and having the stacks mean something would be a good idea.
And speaking of, like, non-detailed tooltips, like, it's no, I don't think it states anywhere that there's a max of 5 spinning crank kicks.
Correct.
Yeah, this is my go-to example. It's not in the game anywhere. It's not in any pass notes. It's not in any blue posts. It just kind of showed up.
I don't even think it was in, like, the files that people comb through for SimCraft, right? We just found out about it because we thought, I mean, and still to this day, it could very well be a bug.
Yep. Like, I don't think it really is, but it would be funny.
Right, at this point,
it would be funny.
All of a sudden, it shows up on a bug fix. Surprise. So what about you, Mickey? How would you fix? Is that how you think you would fix AoE, or do you have something else?
Yeah, basically, spinning crank kick changes. I think Kuya has looked into them probably a little more than me. The other thing I've always thought of is making Fist of Fury maybe do 75% damage to secondary targets, or buffing it baseline so that it's a little more impactful in single target too. Because it kind of seems like they did they realized having Fist of Fury be a really strong single target ability that does its entire damage to every target is a little ridiculous and hard to balance. So let's make it do half to secondary targets. And that was a good first step. And then they kind of forgot to bump it up or, do something else so that it felt good in both situations. So it kind of feels a little lackluster, and that's a pretty iconic ability, at least to me. So I think, I think I mentioned before, roll some Touch of Death and Karma damage into baseline abilities, in this case Fist of Fury, or the secondary targets of Fist of Fury, or the baseline spinning crane kick damage, or the stacks, or the max stacks. There's a lot of routes you could go.
Yeah, and that's pretty much my preference too as well. I think increasing the Mark of Crane, because, going from a theoretical max of, like, what was it, 45 that we had in Legion? Like, if you had the targets, you could get 30-plus stacks. If you had the resources and stuff for it, to now be at 5, that's a little much. That was a little bit of a stark change, and it does kind of make Spinning Crane Kick feel like it's really not an ability. Like, you could go through an AoE pull without using it, and if you've got Rushing Jade Wind, then, yeah, you're really not losing very much.
Oh, yeah. Rushing Jade Wind's a big part of it. I forgot about that. Honestly, delete it. Put the damage in better things. But I know that's not something they're going to do. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, before we officially wrap this thing up, is there anything else you guys want to add?
Did you want to talk about the other new trait that they added, the Furious Wind?
Oh, yeah. Right. That's a good point. Yeah. So the other trait that got added applies a stack to you every time you proc your mastery, and then that each stack is a 3% chance to, when you cast Fist of Fury, gain haste as well as summon a copy of Zuin for 8 seconds. And that's another one of those traits that there's a whole bunch of numbers on there. And, I know one of the big questions that we get a lot is, does this trait stack? Does this trait stack? Well, okay, well, here's a trait that it's got stacks. So then it's got a percentage. Then it's got the haste. Then it's got the duration of Zuin. So it's like, okay, well, if you have two of those traits, do you get 2 stacks per time you use mastery? Do you get twice the amount of haste? Does Zuin stay up for twice as often? Is the chance increased from 3 to 6% per stack? Like, there's just so much goofiness with that we just don't know. And I think, we all pretty much assume that the answer is that the haste is going to be the only thing that gets increased. But you can kind of understand why people get a little confused about your tooltips if the tooltip has 4 numbers on it and only one of those numbers actually is affected if you have more than one of those traits. What are your guys' thoughts on that Azerite trait?
Yeah, I think basically it seems like they kind of throw on some sort of damage or stat proc to every trait that's at least a little more complex so that they have something they can stack. That seems to me what the haste part of it is for, but I don't know.
I think it's cool. I like it a lot. I just, I feel like it's going to turn Fist of Fury. Like, if it is on this, like, separate, like, ring that they're going to come up with, this new ring that they posted, and, like, it's separate from Open Palm Strikes, it might become a thing where Fist of Fury is just, like, the power button. It does everything for you. Gives you haste, gives you more damage. But I guess it's, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
I think what we already discussed in, like, Theorycraft channel is that the proc is actually, like, summoning Suen can be very impactful. It's a large part of the value of the trade. And it feels like a lot of the value of the trade is in just that unique value, and stacking it feels like it's going to be really, really bad. I kind of like that design of Azurite, but I think a lot of people might not be a fan of it, because you don't. It's kind of hard to gauge how strong it is for a casual player to have two of a trade without, because people, not everyone wants to be simulating their stuff, and the Azurite pieces like these do not help making that choice simple.
Absolutely. All right, so I'll bring this to a close. I do very much want to thank you guys for showing up and for sitting and talking and making it so it wasn't just me sitting and talking about Wind Walker for an hour or so. So I very much appreciate you guys coming, so thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be here.
All right, so that will bring this episode to a close. Our third episode of PCraft Podcast. Next week, we will be talking about Brewmaster, the tank spec, and getting a couple expert opinions on that. It's a spec that I only know marginally more about than Mistweaver, so I will likely be, again, completely clueless because my brain is all full of Windwalker. So thank you, everybody, for watching. If you like this type of content, please make sure to support the site, peakofserenity.com, through Patreon or PayPal. However you are able to support us, keep us doing the stuff that we're doing, make sure we can, you know, support and supply everyone with as much information as possible. So thank you very much for listening. And until next time, have a good night, morning, afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are.